This is PodTech.net with content from KPIX Television and Common Sense Media, dedicated to improving the media and entertainment lives of children and families. For more information, go to commonsensemedia.org.
This has been debated ever since Elvis Presley first swiveled his hips. Can the lyrics to music influence what its young listeners do? Well, there's a new study out now that says children who listen to racy lyrics have sex sooner than children who don't. Here to discuss these latest findings is our media expert, Jim Steyer. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Joe.
All right, so the concept's not new. What is new is the extent to which these researchers delved into what the children are listening to and then their subsequent behavior.
Right. This is, and by the way, when we say children, we're really talking about teenagers, because this is a two-year RAND study of kids ages 12 to 17. And you're right. This is the age-old argument that we had. You know, my parents were worried about the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Right.
And whether or not that influenced us to do various things. But this study is very clear. It's very comprehensive. What it says is the more that teens listen to sexually explicit but also sexually degrading lyrics, stuff where women are objectified, depicted as sex objects, where men, you know, are the studs who just can't get enough, that those actually impact teens' behavior, and that the more kids listen to them, the earlier they get involved in sexual activity and things like teen pregnancy, other health consequences like STDs, they all flow from that. So it's actually a really interesting study, and I will tell you, it's very good methodological research.
One of the researchers said that girls who are repeatedly exposed to these messages expect to take a submissive role in their relationships, and then boys are come to sort of take on a reckless role because they're supposed to be the stud.
Well, that's right, and it makes sort of sex sound inconsequential. And any parent like myself with four kids who thinks about their teenagers thinks about, you know, the messages that kids will get about that, both boys and girls, and the idea that sex is sort of inconsequential. And some of the messages that, you know, if you look at some of the most popular stuff out this summer, there's, I think, Nelly Furtado's album is called Promiscuous, or top single is Promiscuous. Justin Timberlake has Sexy Back. Kids listen to a lot of this stuff. And the issue, therefore, is does it infect them or not? You can talk to teenagers and they say, I don't really listen to the lyrics. I just like the beat or I like the music. But the study seems pretty clear that there's an influence and that's significant. And again, I think the sexually degrading aspect of it is what's most troubling to me. Mm. And I think as a parent and as just someone who looks at the broader media culture, we ought to be aware of what these messages are. And it's very important to talk with your kids about this.
You mentioned some kids don't listen to the lyrics, or so they say. I can't understand the lyrics. I never have. Even the stuff I grew up listening to. I can't understand a single word.
You know, I agree. But the thing is, this study is very interesting because it actually goes into the lyrics and it did a lot of detailed stuff looking at the teens' behavior. And in fact, we may not be able to decipher what Nelly Furtado sings, but I think kids do. And the bottom line is it's the cumulative effect that has real significant sexual health consequences for kids. And you don't want to be a censor, and you want sanity, not censorship, as we always say at Common Sense Media. But this is a big issue for parents and for teenagers to deal with.
All right, so which is a fine line? You don't want to be a censor, but you want to watch with your kids. Let's go through some of the tips that you have for parents.
Well, I think the first thing, I mean, there are three basic things. First of all, you can do some research. At commonsensemedia.org now, we literally put out something called the Daily Download, which is basically the most popular music out there. We call them albums, but, you know, they're songs on your iPod that teens listen to. I think the second thing you really have to do, again, going back to sanity, not censorship, is you have to talk with your kids. You have to listen to what's on their iPod sometime and just play it over your speakers. Or if you're in the car driving with your kids, listen to what's on their iPod or listen to what they're listening to and listen with them. And third, you've got to tell them, you got to listen, you got to tell them what you like, you got to ask questions about what they like.
And quickly, a sample question.
Well, a sample question is what do you think the image of women is in this song here? How do you like the way that girls are portrayed in this song? And boys, is this what you want to be like? Do you actually think this has no impact on you? If you ask questions, you get really interesting discussions going with your kids. And at the end of the day, a kid who thinks critically about these messages will be just fine. It's those who just sort of absorb them without ever questioning them that are more likely to be folks like the RAND study points out.
Seems like a tidal wave that you're fighting against, but as you point, there are things you can
do. It's all about good dialogue and communication with your kids. And you know, teenagers don't always want to talk to their parents, Joe, but if you want to talk to them about their music or about the favorite movies, they'll talk to you. And that's a great opportunity to talk about tough subjects like sex.
Good point.
So Good have discussion. That conversation.
Good discussion. Thank you, Jim Steyer. Appreciate it.
Good to see you, Jim.
Children who don't. Here to discuss these latest findings is our media expert, Jim Steyer. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Joe.
All right, so the concept's not new. What is new is the extent to which these researchers delved into what the children are listening to and then their subsequent behavior.
Right. This is, and by the way, when we say children, we're really talking about teenagers, because this is a two-year RAND study of kids ages 12 to 17. And you're right. This is the age-old argument that we had. You know, my parents were worried about the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Right.
And whether or not that influenced us to do various things. But this study is very clear. It's very comprehensive. What it says is the more that teens listen to sexually explicit but also sexually degrading lyrics, stuff where women are objectified, depicted as sex objects, where men, you know, are the studs who just can't get enough, that those actually impact teens' behavior, and that the more kids listen to them, the earlier they get involved in sexual activity and things like teen pregnancy, other health consequences like STDs, they all flow from that. So it's actually a really interesting study, and I will tell you, it's very good methodological research.
One of the researchers said that girls who are repeatedly exposed to these messages expect to take a submissive role in their relationships, and then boys are come to sort of take on a reckless role because they're supposed to be the stud.
Well, that's right, and it makes sort of sex sound inconsequential. And any parent like myself with four kids who thinks about their teenagers thinks about, you know, the messages that kids will get about that, both boys and girls, and the idea that sex is sort of inconsequential. And some of the messages that, you know, if you look at some of the most popular stuff out this summer, there's, I think, Nelly Furtado's album is called Promiscuous, or top single is Promiscuous. Justin Timberlake has Sexy Back. Kids listen to a lot of this stuff. And the issue, therefore, is does it infect them or not? You can talk to teenagers and they say, I don't really listen to the lyrics. I just like the beat or I like the music. But the study seems pretty clear that there's an influence and that's significant. And again, I think the sexually degrading aspect of it is what's most troubling to me. Mm. And I think as a parent and as just someone who looks at the broader media culture, we ought to be aware of what these messages are. And it's very important to talk with your kids about this.
You mentioned some kids don't listen to the lyrics, or so they say. I can't understand the lyrics. I never have. Even the stuff I grew up listening to. I can't understand a single word.
You know, but I agree. But the thing is, this study is very interesting because it actually goes into the lyrics and it did a lot of detailed stuff looking at the teens' behavior. And in fact, we may not be able to decipher what Nelly Furtado sings, but I think kids do. And the bottom line is it's the cumulative effect that has real significant sexual health consequences for kids. And you don't want to be a censor, and you want sanity, not censorship, as we always say at Common Sense Media. But this is a big issue for parents and for teenagers to deal with.
All right, so which is a fine line? You don't want to be a censor, but you want to watch with your kids. Let's go through some of the tips that you have for parents.
Well, I think the first thing, I mean, there are three basic things. First of all, you can do some research. At commonsensemedia.org now, we literally put out something called the Daily Download, which is basically the most popular music out there. We call them albums, but, you know, they're songs on your iPod that teens listen to. I think the second thing you really have to do, again, going back to sanity, not censorship, is you have to talk with your kids. You have to listen to what's on their iPod sometime and just play it over your speakers. Or if you're in the car driving with your kids, listen to what's on their iPod or listen to what they're listening to and listen with them. And third, you've got to tell them, you got to listen, you got to tell them what you like, you got to ask questions about what they like.
And quickly, a sample question.
Well, a sample question is, what do you think the image of women is in this song here? How do you like the way that girls are portrayed in this song? And boys, is this what you want to be like? Do you actually think this has no impact on you? If you ask questions, you get really interesting discussions going with your kids. And at the end of the day, a kid who thinks critically about these messages will be just fine. It's those who just sort of absorb them without ever questioning them that are more likely to be folks like the RAND study points out.
Seems like a tidal wave that you're fighting against, but as you point, there are things you can
do. It's all about good dialogue and communication with your kids. And, you know, teenagers don't always want to talk to their parents, Joe, but if you want to talk to them about their music or about their favorite movies, they'll talk to you, and that's a great opportunity to talk about tough subjects like sex.
Good point.
So have that conversation.
Good discussion. Thank you, Jim Steyer. Appreciate it.
Good to see you, Jim.